The scripture reading this morning is from Mark 11, verses 20 to 26. In the morning, walking along the road, they saw the fig tree shriveled to a dry stick. Peter, remembering what had happened the previous day, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed is shriveled up." Jesus was matter of fact. Embrace this God life, really embrace it, and nothing will be too much for you. This mountain, for instance, just say, go jump in the lake. No shuffling or shilly-shallying, and it's as good as done. That's why I urge you to pray for absolutely everything, ranging from small to large. Include everything as you embrace this God life, and you'll get God's everything. And when you assume the posture of prayer, remember that it's not all asking. If you have anything against someone, forgive. Only then will your Heavenly Father be inclined to also wipe your slate clean of sins.
マルコによる福音書11章20節から26節まで日本語でお見せします。朝早く通りかかるのに見ると、イチジクの木が根まで枯れていた。ペテロは思い出してイエスに言った。先生、ご覧ください、あなたの呪われたイチジクの木が枯れました。イエスは答えて言われた。神を信じなさい。誠にあなた方に告げます、誰でもこの山に向かって動いて海に入れと言って心の中で疑わず、ただ自分の言った通りになると信じるなら、その通りになります。だからあなた方に言うのです、祈って求めるものを何でもすでに受けたと信じなさい。そうすればその通りになります。また立って祈っているとき、誰かに対して恨み事があったら許してやりなさい。そうすれば天におられるあなた方の父もあなた方を許し、あなた方の罪を許してくださいます。で、もし許された、許さないならもし許さないなら、あなた方の天の父もあなた方の過ちをお許しにならない。権威についての回答。
日本語難しいですね。Thank you, Hiro. Japanese is a very difficult language.If you're not raised in Japan, if you're not Japanese, and even if you are Japanese, it's difficult. I had to renew my passport, and I'm a Japanese citizen, for those of you who don't know. Yeah, that's right, I'm a Japanese citizen. I'm a Nihonjin. But I had to renew my passport, and the form you renew a passport, it's all in Japanese. And I'm illiterate in Japanese. And so when I brought the form up to the clerk that was helping, that was supposed to help me, she's like, why can't you read Japanese? You're a Japanese citizen. And I'm like, oh, because I've been in the state, since I was two. But, it just reminded me how, I don't want to say stupid, but how smart I am not in Japan. And she, you know, she was very nice to help me, but I did not feel very smart while I was filling out that form. Which is to say language is very difficult, even the English language, and even just learning God's language is difficult at times, amen? Yes. Just learning to hear God's voice, understand what it's saying, and move according to His will just doesn't come automatically. We need to learn God's language. And one of His languages is prayer. And it's interesting about prayer, and I want to continue to talk about the art of prayer, and we've been at this for quite some time, but the first slide is, there are certain practices that can facilitate answered prayers. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Now imagine that. A church so powerful that it can answer prayers according to its desires. Now, of course, there's a preposition phrase, if you abide in me. But Jesus goes on to say in this chapter 15:7-8, he says this, these prayers that are going to be answered, they're for my Father's glory and to show that you are my disciples. And so answered prayers, it does two things. It gives God glory, does it not? If you're struggling with something and you pray for it and it's answered, who gets the glory? God does. God is an amazing God. He does that all the time. Now what I want is to see our church be consistent in that. That when we pray, something happens. Not just, oh, I need to pray, I need to change my prayer. Now sometimes that's the case. But if 70% of the time it's, oh, I just need to change my prayers, we're doing something wrong. Maybe we're not abiding in Him. But Jesus says, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is for my Father's glory and this will show that you are my disciples. Disciples of Jesus, their prayer life is very powerful. Amen. Even James 5:16 says, the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. And for us at JCCT, here as a church, I want to be known. One, people that follow Jesus as Jesus' disciples, but also people who pray powerful, effective prayers consistently. That if someone has a need, you say, oh, take them to JCCT. They can pray for you, and God will hear their prayers. Non-Christians and Christians, oh, take them to JCCT. They know how to pray. God hears their prayers. And until we get there, we need to continue to strive to be people of prayers. Now, there are certain conditions that can sabotage our prayers. A couple weeks ago, I talked about certain conditions that could facilitate answered prayers. Today, I want to talk about certain conditions that can sabotage our prayers. There are several conditions, such as doubt, selfish prayers, giving up too quickly, not asking. But in Mark 25, Jesus says something interesting. He says, whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven also may also forgive you your trespasses. And it's interesting because in context, he's talking about prayer. And he does this several times. Well, the Bible does this several times. The connection between prayers and forgiveness. And so I believe unforgiveness, living in unforgiveness, has certain powers to hinder our prayers from being answered. How many of you have people you need to forgive? Nobody. Amen. Praise God. That's what I was looking for. No, but I'm sure if you think about it, you have people you need to forgive, right? I think we all do. That's part of being human. That's part of living a life. And the older you get, I'm sure there's more people you're going to need to forgive. The thing is, unforgiveness is so powerful that it can hinder our prayers from being heard and answered in the kingdom. Now, I don't have all of this figured out. So I might change, you know, it might change, it evolve, it might grow. Some of the things I say today, I might not believe maybe 2 years from now. Because I'm still growing in the understanding of the connection between forgiveness and prayer. But let's see what the Bible says, and let's try to figure it out. If you have your Bible, turn with me to chapter 18, Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 and on. Matthew 18, 21 and on. In context, Peter asks, well, I'm going to read the context then. Let's just read from 21. Matthew 18, 21. It says, Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive someone who sins against me? Up to seven times. Let's stop there. In the Jewish culture, and in the culture Peter was living in, they forgave someone up to three times the same sins. And then the fourth time, I don't know how they would retaliate, but up to three times they would forgive. And so Peter, when he says, should I forgive up to seven times? He's kind of showing that he is even more merciful and forgiving than the culture, which the cultural norm was forgive three times. But Peter says, should I forgive someone seven times? I'm sure he was looking for, hey, Peter, way to go, way to step up your game kind of thing from Jesus. But Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus says, I tell you, not seven times, but seven times seven. 77 times. Now, that's sort of an idiom. It's a phrase meaning forgive him and keep on forgiving him, not count 77 times. And then Jesus gives a parable. He says this, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I'll pay you back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I'll pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their masters everything that had happened. When the master called the servants in, you wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive a brother or sister from your heart. Before I talk about this passage, let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, you who created the heavens and the earth, you who created the sea and everything in it, We come before you to bless your name, to honor and worship you, Lord. We thank you so much for your grace and your mercy over our lives. We pray, Lord, that we could learn how to live in that. We pray that we could be people of prayer to give you glory, Father, and to show that we are Jesus' disciples. We thank you, Jesus.